Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing a loophole that people use to make money without even owning any property. This is something called rent to rent. Now, I don't know why, but it's quite controversial, rent to rent. People think it's illegal or it's a
bit of a scam. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, big companies like Premier Inn do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
If you go and look at a Premier Inn building, most of their buildings they don't own. What does that mean they do? They rent them.
Yep. And then
a landlord. And then rent them out.
Yep.
As service accommodation. So how come big companies can do it and it's seen as, oh, it's absolutely
totally
fine.
Legit.
Yeah, it's a legit business. No one would go, Premier Inn's a bit of a scam. Premier Inn, ooh, isn't that a bit illegal? What Premier Inn do? It's just like, no, it's just totally normal. It's just a business like most hotels.
Yep.
But as soon as an individual landlord does it, it's like, oh, it's a scam. It's a loophole. It's illegal. Whatever. It isn't illegal.
It isn't. But at the same time, on the flip side of that, I think it can be done in a dodgy way. And it only takes two or three people to do it dodgy that wrecks it for everyone, doesn't it?
Exactly. And this is why it gets a bad rep. So what we're going to discuss is, number one, the mechanics of rent-to-rent. So how rent-to-rent actually works and what it actually looks like. Number two, the dark side of rent-to-rent. So
yeah,
what happens where it goes wrong and why does it have a bad rep? Then we're going to look at the reality of actually doing it and how to do it properly. And also what it teaches us about leverage and about wealth. So why don't we start off with what exactly rent-to-rent is. So in layman's terms, rent-to-rent is where you rent a property from a landlord. So let's say it's on the market for £1,000 a month. You go, okay, I'm going to rent it off them for £1,000 a month. But then you rent it out normally as service accommodation or as a HMO to other people for a higher rate than what you're renting it for.
You
make a profit.
Yeah.
It's a business. It isn't passive income.
No. I think that's where it sometimes is misinterpreted as, like, when people do videos and suggest it's passive income, which is not correct. And I think people go into it sometimes thinking, oh, I'm going to make passive income. And no, it's income, but not passive income.
Yeah. It's not difficult income. I would say the vast majority of the work comes at the beginning stage.
Yep.
Finding the deal, negotiating with the landlord, getting it all set up, getting put on a channel manager, getting on Airbnb, booking.com, finding your cleaners. There's quite a bit of work that goes into that.
Yep.
Once it's kind of up and running, it's not passive, but it's not much effort. Like, for example, how long would you say per unit that we have that we rent out a service accommodation it takes? In minutes per week.
Probably about 20, I'd say. It's not much once it's... And I mean, you can always pass it on to management, but I think if you're doing rent to rent, I think you want to make the most profit possible. So I think it's worth managing them.
Yeah,
unless you've got an insane amount of them, I think it's worth managing them yourself.
Yeah, and then maybe hiring someone to you. Yeah. I agree.
I think it's also great experience. I think managing them yourself, you then see firsthand problems. And I think also it can lead you into becoming like a management company. You can rent, you can manage other people's. And I think it's well worth, at least at first, managing them yourself.
I agree. And you're right. Also, you do learn a lot. So when you are in a position to buy, if you save up the money that you earn for your rent to rents, you now know what to buy, what not to buy, what to look out for, where works, et cetera, et cetera. I totally agree. The reason a lot of people say it's illegal is because if you have an AST contract, it says in the contract that you can't rent it out to someone else.
Yep.
So people go, ah, isn't that subletting? And it would be subletting if you did this. And I know people that, well, I know of people that have done this, and this is, I wouldn't say it's illegal, but it's breaking your contract, and therefore you'd get stopped. So you wouldn't go to prison. It's not like, oh, it's illegal, like
the police are going to come to your door.
Yeah, like, oh, do you, What are you in for? Oh, I murdered someone. What are you in for? I actually stabbed someone. What are you in for? I rented a house and then I rented it out to someone else. It's not that sort of illegal, but you are in breach of contract.
Yeah.
If you just go on to Rightmove, found a house, pretended you were going to live there. Oh, yeah, I'm the tenant. Yeah, I'll sign an AST contract.
And then popped it on Airbnb.
Yeah. And put it on Airbnb and just like, right. What would happen is they'd probably find out.
Yep.
They would see that it was that their property was lose their absolute on Airbnb. Fap. They'd be very angry. They would kick you out for breach of contract. Yeah. But you wouldn't go to prison or anything. Now, I'm not recommending you do that because that's not how you run a business, because you're going to put all the time and effort into doing it and you're going to get caught out.
What would you think if someone rented one of our properties? Like, because we have got a few single lets, haven't we? And then if you were looking now and you just saw them being rented out on Airbnb, what would you think? Would you care? Or would, if they were paying rent, or would you be like, oi, that shouldn't be on Airbnb?
I wouldn't be that bothered, to be honest.
I don't feel like I would.
But that's because we understand the business of it and how it works. And we understand that actually it's not a bad thing for a property to be on Airbnb. But I think a lot of landlords think incorrectly that if they put their property on Airbnb, it might get trashed, but you're just as likely for it to get trashed with a tenant in.
Yeah.
I think. So I personally wouldn't be that. As long as I was getting paid, I wouldn't be that bothered. But I don't think that's the view
of many people
by most landlords. Yeah. So yeah, I think they'd be pretty mad. So here's the way around it, right? And this is so obvious, but so many people don't understand this. You just don't use an AST contract.
Yeah.
So you have to tell the landlord when you book your viewing, by the way, I won't be living in the property myself. I'm after a corporate let style agreement. And then you have a different contract. Because it's not illegal, it's only breach of the contract. If you've got a different contract that you're not in breach of, that says you can rent it out, then you're fine. You just need the right contract.
What would you suggest for people starting out who think, yep, this sounds perfect then, doing a rent-to-rent? Is it as easy as just, right, well, I'm going to go down Hamptons in my local and go in and go, excuse me, I want a rent-to-rent then, please. I've decided I'm going to rent somewhere and put, so show me some properties you've got up for rent-to-rent.
Yes and no. So most of what you said, yes, that would be absolutely fine. Now, the problem is a lot of estate agents don't want to do corporate lets.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because they've had experience with people that are trying to do corporate lets that do it badly.
Yeah.
But would I ring up an agent and say, I'm looking for, I found this property, I'm not actually going to be living there, I'm looking for something I can do as a corporate let? 100%. Would I get rejected by that agent? Quite possibly. But literally, you can go onto Rightmove and you can search as a keyword corporate let, and some of the ones will come up and say, we're open to corporate lets.
Yeah.
So for those agents, yeah, 100%. The other people that I would try and approach is landlords. Because here's the thing, right? And a lot of people don't get this. Landlords right now are being really attacked.
Yeah.
We've got the budget coming out in like a few weeks' time. And landlords are expected to get hit again. There's talk of national insurance on it. There's talk of the big ones, the tenants' rights. Abolishing Section 21. You can't evict the tenants. And what a lot of landlords are worried about is they're looking at it and they're like, oh my goodness, here, I'm not making very much money from this property.
Yeah.
If the tenant doesn't pay me, it's going to take me 6, 7, 8 months.
To recoup all that money.
To kick them out, even.
Oh, to kick them out. Yeah.
So that's like 6, 7, 8 months of no pay. I'm already not making any money.
Yeah.
I'm already getting taxed to high heaven. Like, what the crap? So a lot of landlords are worried about all these new tenants' rights. If you can turn around to a landlord, you can have a conversation with a landlord and you're a half-decent salesperson that can have a conversation and express your views. And you're like, look, here's the thing. If you rent to a tenant and they don't pay, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to evict them. How long will that take? We don't know.
Yeah.
Once Section 21's abolished, who the hell knows?
No, yeah.
You've got to go to court, whatever, right?
Yep.
If you rent it to me on a corporate let agreement and I don't pay, boom, immediately I'm out.
Yep.
I don't have any tenants' rights. So you're way more protected. On top of that, I'm going to be sending cleaners in 3 to 4 times a week.
Yep.
I'm going to be maintaining the property to a really high standard because I need it to be a really high standard. Otherwise, I'm going to get bad reviews and bad complaints. If you think of the average, obviously, we've got Airbnb properties, we've got single let properties, and you know loads of other landlords that got the same. Be honest now, which properties are kept to a better condition?
The ones that are on Airbnb.
Of course, why?
Because, like you say, they are being checked on regularly, cleaned regularly. So even though, yes, in your head you think, oh no, I'd rather just one family live in it, but you're relying on that family to keep it up to a really high standard. Like, I think it was interesting, if you haven't watched it, you need to check it out, the Samuel Leeds documentary premiered at Cineworld this...
We should put a link, actually.
We should, because it was brilliant. And Samuel took us around properties he owns, some he owns with us, some he owns individually, our big developments. But what was interesting is I've seen some of those properties before, and he hasn't seen them for 10 years in person. You literally don't know what you're walking into.
No.
Because you need one family. I mean, in 10 years, your property could be on the verge of being derelict.
Oh, could be. I mean, some
and
of them...
Eventually, they move out and you've got to do a 20, 30, 40 grand renovation on the property. Well, at least in the Airbnb, yeah.
Do you know what it is as well, though?
Little things might get smashed. Like, oh, after a year, I think someone put a stain on one of the rugs in one of our properties.
But then what do you do?
Replace it.
You replace it?
Yeah.
That's the thing. So we've just paid one of our properties. We did work on it 2 years ago.
Three years ago.
And we've just done a whole new repainted the whole thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that on an AST.
You'd no, because like, you wouldn't
nah,
just...
Unless they moved out, then you'd do it because then you want to...
Well, we've not done that on any, because we're quite lucky in some of our buy-to-lets. We have got really long-standing tenants.
And we haven't repainted them.
Never. We've never put in a new kitchen, never, because they've never asked. We've never... No. We haven't been to the property in years and years.
Because you're forced to do it. You're forced to do it. I agree. So they're kept to a higher standard. So if you think of it from a landlord's point of view now, it's going to be cleaned really regularly. It's going to be checked on regularly. It's going to be kept to a much higher standard.
Normally, as well, when you take on a rent-to-rent, they're properties that are maybe a bit drab, the landlord's a bit tired and fed up with it. And you go in and you instantly give it an uplift. So that's what normally happens, isn't it? And because obviously you're changing the usage. So you tend to put in furniture because you're going to either do it as a HMO or an SA. And you decorate. You might not do, you wouldn't do large projects probably, but you are going to go and paint it, maybe put in new carpets. Well, that in itself for a landlord, if someone said to us like, oh, and on top of that, we'll give it a quick, you know, spruce up. You're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Thanks.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So I think if you think of all the pros, the big pro though is the no tenants' rights.
Yeah.
Right. But also, as long as it works, you can have a really long-term contract.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are signing 4, 5, 6 year contracts with this because like, as soon as they know it works, they don't want to give it up. They're spending money on it. They're doing it up. So from a landlord's point of view, I think it's a really, really good deal. And if you do go direct, you don't have to pay estate agency fees.
Yeah.
We looked at renting out one of our houses in Beaconsfield on a AST. 16%.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's
they were
crazy.
Taking. I'm like, that's insane. It's no, literally like booking.com fees.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Plus a big chunk. I think it was like...
It was a crazy chunk.
10% up front for finding the tenant. Which for a house, it was like $7,000 finder's fee or something. It's just like, this is just unbelievable. It's crazy, right? So you save on management fees as well if you give it to someone on a rent-to-rent.
Yeah.
So there's loads of pros. I would have no hesitation giving my property to somebody on a rent-to-rent.
No hesitation
at all. However, in the same way that when you pick a good tenant, you need to pick a good renter.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to make sure that you're giving it to someone that you trust because there are scams associated with it. It's one of the reasons why people think it's illegal. So the first one, we've kind of already touched on. This is like the dark side of rent-to-rent now. The first one is where they rent it on an AST and then they just rent it out without telling you.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, you know, like you say, you're not going to go to prison, but it could all come crashing down.
Yeah. The second thing I would be wary of, personally, is renting a big, nice house out as Airbnb. Because the problem with big, nice houses, and I'm talking like, you know, 4 or 5, six-bedroom house is you've got the risk of attracting it party houses.
Yeah.
And like birthday parties and stuff like that. And I do know of people, I've never had a property like that that I've rented out, but I do know of people that have rented out 5-6-bedroom houses and then they have trashed it.
Yeah. I do think that, because who else is going to rent that on Airbnb? You might get the odd family, but realistically, it's going to be hen parties, stag do's.
You might.
Girls' weekends.
If you're in the right area, you could hit contractors.
Yeah.
If you've got like twin rooms, for example, or even doubles, to be fair, but you might hit contractors that are paying like, but then you've got to specifically target those and try and be careful on who you accept. If you just accept any old person.
It is going to be for parties, big gatherings.
Yeah.
And I think if you know that and you're doing it, say we did it on this house and we knew that was going to be the case.
I wouldn't want to rent this house out on Airbnb.
No, I wouldn't, because it would become just a big party house.
The problem is it's such an expensive house. The damage that you could do and the damage that you could do to this house could cost us like literally hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, this isn't, oh, and then I'll give it a 2 or 3 grand refurb and all back good again.
For rental type, this isn't a rental. I wouldn't want to rent this out particularly though as a rental at all.
No, it doesn't add up.
It doesn't work, right?
It doesn't work.
So if you're buying rental type properties where you can go in, you can give it a 5 grand refurb, you're going to make, people that do landlords that rent out a service accommodation, you're going to make like easily a grand a month.
Yeah.
Easily. So that's what, 15, 16 grand a year you should be making really from any given property.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it does get fine, I'll refurb it.
Yeah.
Whatever. If it gets trashed every couple of years, no biggie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have loads of expensive stuff in there. I wouldn't have...
I think if you want to do party houses, it's a different business. We had Patricia on about 6 months ago and she has done it. But you've got to see it as like, I am doing party houses, not I'm doing Airbnbs, oops, and sometimes big parties come in.
Yeah.
Because you're setting yourself up. Like she put in, her houses, because we've been to some of them, were brilliant. She put in pool tables. She set it up knowing they were going to throw big parties. She even was saying about how she has to pay the cleaners extra for cleaning up sick, which quite often happens. I mean, that actually just made me feel a bit sick saying that.
Don't be sick though, yeah. You have to send Patricia's cleaner over. Yeah.
Because can you imagine if we rented this out and then people were being sick? Like, I'd, no. But I think if you're set up for that, she knows she's doing that. All her houses at the time were party houses. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, that's her business.
That's a business. And if you're doing that, fine. But just to get a large...
I tell you where you'd have to pay a lot.
Rent and put it on Airbnb.
We also had James on the show a little while ago.
And, oh, yeah, that was funny.
And he's renting one of his places out. And apparently it does really... like. Double, triple what all his others get.
I wonder how much he has to pay his cleaners.
That's what I was going to say. It's a sex room. It's got like whips and handcuffs and all. Yeah, well, I wonder what he has to pay. I'd hate that job. Imagine you're ringing up the cleaning company. Can you clean my Airbnb? Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then they rock up and they're like, oh my gosh. What have I walked into here? Also, it was like he bought a big HMO and he turned the basement into it. Right. So the other rooms he was renting out as normal rooms. Then you had the basement, the dungeon. That was I would not want to be the cleaner of that one. I'd I'll do the other 5 rooms. Anna, you can go down and do the basement.
Oh yeah. No, that's too much. And again, apparently, I've heard that actually does rake in a lot of money. So sometimes thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
But it's a separate thing. It's like you have to be study that kind of business and come up with clever things and, you know, get you the appropriate cleaners. Don't shock someone into just thinking it's a normal clean.
I'll give you another example of stuff, right? Here is some stuff that could happen, bad stuff with Airbnbs. And this sort of comes with... giving lots of people access to your property.
Yeah.
So one in the news the other day, so someone rented their house out on Airbnb.
Yeah.
I think it was their actual personal home as well, and they rented it out for a few, they were away for the summer or whatever, they rented it out on Airbnb. One of the guests that stayed in the property came in, put it up for, pretended they owned it, put it up for rent on Open Rent, did viewings, took deposits off people for it.
Wow.
Moved someone in, and then they just left, right? So the owner got home, and there's someone living in their house, and they're like, oh, were you the guest? They're like, no, we're the tenant. We rent it. They've got proper AST contract with them and everything. And the owner's like, what the hell? Right, so I suppose just giving people access, keys to your house or access to your house where you're not monitoring them and they don't have a... See, when you have a tenant in, you've got their passport. If you've got a guest comes in that's booked through Expedia or what, there's not that same level of accountability. They might not even be from this country, right?
I think nowadays with things, and people are getting clever with scams, and that some of the stuff people pull off is insane. I do think now keys.
You're worried about keys?
Yeah, I think.
Our new ones, we've still got some that are keys that we haven't changed yet, although even just telling the story makes me want to change it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
But a lot of them
we've
got smart locks where the code changes, in which case they would only have access during their stay. And the second their stay finished, their access is gone.
Yeah. So they'd have to be quick on it. And then what would they do when they do rent it out? They wouldn't be able to get the tenant in, would they?
No.
The code would be gone. So that kind of rules that out if you're not using keys.
Yeah.
Because do you know another thing that always scared me about keys? And I think of it when I go to any Airbnb and it's got a key. Why would it not stop someone going and cutting the key?
And they're just coming back any old time.
Yeah, and I always think, imagine if someone just rocks up and he's just like, I don't know, lives there when it's empty, or I don't know, how sinister. I mean, we could go on a list of really sinister things people could
do. Well, you hear stories, don't you, about like people that live in other people's houses, like hide in the... I think it was a celebrity, actually. They were saying, I noticed stuff was like missing from the fridge.
Oh.
So I like put a camera up and then I saw this random woman coming in. And I was like, what the hell? And she was living in the attic and she'd broken in, moved from the attic, and then was going down nicking stuff from the fridge. I suppose if you're renting it out and getting lots of people coming and going, you're opening yourself up for stuff like that. One thing that I found really interesting is that 78% of viewers of this channel aren't actually subscribers. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes or any new property news, please do like and subscribe. It also really helps our channel grow. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Back to the show. Didn't you know someone though that actually happened to?
Yeah. Oh, and it was really creepy. Like, apparently there's a thing online where people break into houses that they think sit empty quite a bit, and they film it. And they don't do anything like really awful, but they do go in them, like you say, move stuff around. And I know someone that happened to, and they were renting a property and things like that. They'd get home and they'd be like, oh, I thought we shut the back door. Why is the back door ajar? Oh, I thought, like, put all the washing up away this morning. And, like, they felt like they were going.
And they were literally just messing with them.
Yeah. They thought they were going mad until one day they turned up and the people were sitting out in the back garden.
That's weird.
And then when they were, like, the people panicked and ran off across the fields, they had to get all the locks changed. But they still managed to get back in, and it's carried on happening.
Oh, after they're getting the locks changed?
Yeah, and then they'd get back, and the day they had all the locks changed, it was one of those houses, like it was like a barn conversion, so there was a lot of doors and a lot in that to have. It cost thousands to get all the locks changed. And then that day they got home and the back door was open, and they'd left a window open upstairs. They'd got back in and then left the door just to mess with them. I'd have to move out. I think I'd have to move out.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Sounds terrible. Another thing that I heard had happened, another nightmare scenario,
should we get rid of all our Airbnbs?
They were using an Airbnb as a drop-off for drugs. Oh, so what? The first person would go in, leave the drugs in the attic, and then like the next person or whatever it was they wanted to change, the next person would go in. And this was a host, and she did a periodic check and found loads of drugs in the attic.
So what were they doing, renting the Airbnb? Different people would book it.
Book it, go in, leave it as the handoff area, check out. Next guest would check in, take.
Oh, wow.
Take it. Oh, like a week later or whatever it was that they wanted to do the handover.
Why?
Which seems a bit extravagant, but...
Yeah, but They make a lot of money, don't they? So well, actually renting a little Airbnb.
At least this is what the Airbnb owner claimed when drugs were found in their loft. Oh, I'll tell you what it must have been. It must have been one guest came in.
Now I'm thinking about the story.
Yeah, this story is not adding up. Anyway, so there are some of the bad things. I told you about the... Yeah, there's some of the bad things that can happen. I think the key, ironically, is to not have a key.
Yeah,
is to have an electronic door, something like New Key or something, which we use, works really, really well.
Yeah.
Now, while that might look like a negative, I genuinely think Rent to Rent is one of the best businesses. If you're getting started in property, number one, like you mentioned, you learn so much about property. Number two, it's so freaking lucrative.
Yeah.
You literally, I was looking in, I was doing some analysis for one of our academy members. We're looking at Manchester. The average nightly rate in Manchester, I think, is £191 per night with about 70% occupancy. If you rent a place out in Manchester city centre, you're going to be turning over about £4,500 a month.
Yeah.
You can rent places for like £1,500.
Yeah.
So even if your costs, and by the way, £4,500, that doesn't include your cleaning fees. That would be on top of that because you charge cleaning extra. So forget cleaning fees. Yes, you'll lose 15% to booking.com. But even if your costs are... What, for your bills, 500 quid, 600 quid,
yeah.
Yeah. You're probably making £2,000-ish profit per month for 20 minutes a week.
Yeah.
Like, you put the work in and get it set up. Because any business takes work to set up.
Of course.
Hiring a new employee, it takes work. I would just literally see it like that. It's almost, getting a new property is like hiring a new employee.
Yeah.
And then it's going to make you a load of cash flow until the deal eventually loses. Very, very minimal work. It's a brilliant business. I mean, we've got students on the academy who are making 30, 40, 50 grand a month from rent to rent. They've got multiple 20, 30, 40 units. You know, there are businesses that are doing more than that as well. There are whole companies that are set up to do this that are making millions of pounds. So,
The top ones.
Yeah. So it's a brilliant business. It is not a scam. It's a service to the landlords.
Yeah.
Now you could argue that it's taking away homes. I get that argument.
Yeah.
Taking away homes. But at the end of the day, it's all about supply and demand.
Yeah.
And if it gets to a point where, you know, it's a free market at the end of the day. So unless there's going to be government legislation, which may or may not come in a few years' time.
One thing to bear in mind when you're changing it to SA is there is obviously in London, you can only do that for 90 days.
Exactly.
So there is legislation. But just not a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, like you say, like anything, like HMOs, then they brought in the legislation because there was too many HMOs. It might go that route where they... But then do it.
Hay while the sun shines. Exactly.
In the future, you might have to do something else. But for now, it works.
And from a business perspective, you're learning all about property investing without needing a big deposit.
Yep.
You're making a load of cash flow. You're helping landlords out because landlords are stuck in a situation with the tenants' rights and everything where you're serving the landlord. It's just...
Win-win.
It's a brilliant business. It's a brilliant loophole. It's a brilliant way to make cash flow from property. It's a brilliant way to get started in property as well. The first thing that we did was actually bought and we managed to do that with other people's money.
But a lot of people aren't in that position though, are they?
But the very second thing that we did... a variation of rent to rent with HMOs.
Yeah.
And we had loads of properties in Wolverhampton, managed hundreds of rooms. And that was the real education for us.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Getting, managing property, understanding it. So yeah, I think it's a great strategy. I think it's a great loophole. I think you should be taking advantage of it if you're not buying already.
Yeah.
It's a great way in. So there you go. That's rent to rent. The good, the bad, the ugly, but mostly the good. I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.